Hello, everyone. I'm Barb. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a food addict and I'm a work addict. And I'm very grateful to be with you today. And I was asked to speak on the second half of We Agnostics. And it was really actually a pleasure for me to review that part of the big book again. It's been a little while since I've done that. And, you know, the first line that really popped out at me when I started to do that was on the bottom of page 52. Where it says, we agnostics and atheists, we're sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. And, you know, this is how I lived. I lived this way the first, you know, 50 years of my life. And just to kind of backtrack a little bit, I went to church as a kid. I grew up going to church as a family until I was a teenager, and then things kind of fell apart with that. But we went almost every week, and it wasn't, it was just what we did, but though we never talked about it. And, you know, we never talked about religion. We never talked about God. We never talked about what we were supposed to be getting out of it. But one thing I can tell you for sure is that I never understood that part of it was becoming God reliant and not self-reliant. That never, you know, I never learned anything about that, quite honestly, until I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, and even more specifically, BBA. So, but it was interesting as a kid. I mean, my uncle was actually the pastor at the first church that we went to. And then there was family falling out, so we decided to go. And I grew up in a very small little hamlet, is what I would call it, in Pennsylvania. And so there was kind of a church to the left and a church to the right. So for the first, I don't know, about 10 years of my life, I went to the church on the left. And then after their family falling out, we went to the church on the right. And, you know, I continued to go to church even after my family, there was a breakup, my mom, you know, and anyway, I was the only one still going to church. So I was clearly always still looking for something. And I kind of stepped away from church for a while and then into my early 20s. And then I actually converted to Catholicism in my early 20s and then did that for about 7 or 8 years and then walked away from that. But when I look back at that, what I know is that I was always looking for something, because, you know, self-reliance wasn't working for me. I was living in all those bedevilments that are talked about on page 52. And, you know, then in my late 20s, when I stepped away from the church, I kind of binge drink before, up until that time. Whenever I drank too much kind of thing, but I wasn't a day-to-day drinker. My day-to-day drinking really started about my late 20s, 30-ish time zone. And that became my solution. You know, that, the work, the, you know, the eating, those all became my solution to life. As I continued to read on page 53, you know, it talks about logic is great stuff. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with the proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. And again, that, you know, that was absolutely my mindset constantly, you know, through all my, all, you know, 30s, 40s, right up until, you know, again, I took a look at something different. And, you know, everything had to logically make sense. And, you know, the book talks about, before we get to page 52, just in the very beginning of the second half of We Agnostics, how, I'll go back to it. It talks about how in the realm of material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, traditions, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And then they liken that with, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? And I'm not sure that whole concept, that parallel, that paradox ever really, really sank in to me before. But, you know, it talks about the fact that it wasn't that the people of ancient history weren't smart. They just were so stuck in their beliefs and their superstitions, et cetera, that they couldn't move forward. And that was very much true for me. You know, I, I got a very clear set of beliefs, and you know, was by the time I walked into AA, clearly professing to be atheist and agnostic, and really didn't understand the difference of those two, but was that definitely calling myself that both internally and externally to other people. So I had really, really gone full circle in about 22 years. And, you know, but what happened was, what it talks about on page 53, when we become alcoholics crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. And, you know, I came in and I, you know, the one thing, one reason I didn't want to come into Alcoholics Anonymous is because I knew there was a God element of it and I was opposed to it. And yet when I walked in, I, you know, I heard it, I resisted it, and but I could see that it was working. It was working for people. And I thought, well, gee whiz, if it's working for them, why wouldn't it work for me? So I became open. I became open and willing to look at that. And that's, you know, that's the first miracle for me, was the first miracle that I was willing to do that. And, you know, it talks about that on 52, that when we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And that's, you know, thank goodness, that's exactly what happened for me. I just became willing and open and was able to take an honest and sincere look at that. And it took me a while, you know, it took me a long while, honestly, to realize that it wasn't just the alcohol that God could help me with, that there was not anything in my life that God was unable to help me with. I mean, everything could go to God. And that was like a whole other awakening for me. And it's helped me in every facet of my life. I mean, so many things have happened since I got into recovery. Some very unpleasant things have happened, but I have been able to go through them so much easier than I could when I was, you know, not living with God being the center of my life. And just the fact that I can talk to people, whether it's people, you know, I'm certainly more comfortable in this realm, but whether it's people in this realm or people outside of AA or any recovery group, that I can actually talk about the fact that I have a belief in God, a reliance on God, that in itself is a miracle. Because I couldn't do any of those things before. It wasn't anything, you know, it was a very uncomfortable subject for me. And so other than to say that I, you know, completely dispelled it as, you know, baloney, basically. So, but I got, you know, I kind of went through my 30s and 40s, numbing my entire life to all those things, the eating, the drinking, the working. And, you know, I was 50 years old when, honestly, I was so utterly broken spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, that I didn't know what to do anymore. Nothing, you know, none of my solutions were working anymore. And I still believe, and I will always believe that, you know, God led me first with a willingness to take a look at, did I have an alcohol problem? Because I didn't first walk into AA. I first walked into a psychiatrist's office for 5 years and told her I thought I had a problem with drinking, but it, anyway, long story short, 5 years later she said, I need to refer you out. But I became willing to actually take a look at it, because before that I just kept saying, no, I am not that. I'm not living under a bridge. I'm not drinking out of a bag, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, blind to all the other crazy things that I was doing. But I believe God led me there. And it was a perfect fit for me, quite honestly. And it really was the beginning of believing, again, believing that there was a God, that there was a power higher than myself. And I eventually, you know, did end up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was another awakening for me. And it's been a, you know, progressive awakening through the last 5 years. And it's been absolutely astonishing for me that I've walked this road. And it, you know, it talks about the ridge of reason and walking toward the desired shore of faith. And it says about some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. And we were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. And, you know, that I really resisted in the very beginning. I feel really fortunate. I feel like I stepped ashore long before I ever would have thought I did. And thank goodness that I did. But, you know, there were many years in between, or before, I should say, that I couldn't even get on the bridge, quite frankly. It wasn't, you know, in my world, the bridge didn't even exist. But I do look back now, and the book talks about this, the fact that, you know, I was worshiping things. I was worshiping lots of things, lots of people, you know, everything imaginable. And so I always felt like in my mind said to me, Barb, you're just relying on yourself. You know, nobody can do it better. You're the only one who can get it done. You're doing great, all those sorts of things. Meanwhile, I'm worshiping the job, personal relationships, money, material things, and all those things, not ever recognizing that that was me putting that, you know, that was God for me. That was my faith, that those were the things that were going to get me through this life the best way that they, you know, that I could. So, you know, my eyes are open to that now. And, I'm, you know, grateful for that as well. But the, you know, the other thing that this chapter talks about is, you know, where do we find it? And I never, ever had heard this concept that God is deep down within us. And, you know, it talks on these last couple of pages of this chapter, it talks about the, you know, the minister who's, you know, a minister's son, who tumbles out of bed and, you know, suddenly has this awakening. And that's not my story. That's not what happened to me. It took me a while. And I, you know, every time I open this book, I learn something new. And, but on page 55, where it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And I had no idea that God was right inside of me. And Once I was willing to accept that and understand that and believe it, I wasn't lonely anymore. And I really don't get lonely anymore. And I mean, I live alone and I'm, you know, I spend a lot of time alone, but I'm not lonely. And, so I have had much more of the educational spiritual experience and much more slowly. And, you know, the book talks about that multiple times. And in this paragraph, you know, it talks about, you know, that minister's son who's, it says, thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. And, you know, that cornerstone, that willingness, that belief and or willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. And, you know, that's very firmly planted for me. And it was for him very quickly. It took me longer. And it talks about that further on in the reading, where it says, even so has God restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. So that's my experience on how, you know, how I got God. And, you know, I've been through a divorce. I've shaken up my job dramatically in recovery. I've gone through things with family. And as long as I put God first in the solution to all of those things, I get through them, even when they're incredibly unpleasant. You know, it's just, for me, it's so much better way to live. And it's so unexplainable to so many people. But I'm happy to be on this journey and continuing to learn more and more every day. And I'm so anxious to hear all of you. I love when I'm in a new group and I get to hear new voices and new stories. So I'm grateful that I was able to be here with you today. And that's what I've got. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was a wonderful share. Thanks, Bob. I'll go ahead and stop the recording.